So, again, my name is Reverend Crystal Muldrow, and you're hearing all these songs about peace because tomorrow starts off the season of nonviolence. And so my talk, well, you might want to put that peace sign down because as I was groping with nonviolence, another talk came to me. So we're going to merge it with the nonviolence component. For some reason, as I was looking through the whole talk about nonviolence and going rah-rah about the season for nonviolence, which we are looking at and will be expressing throughout the month, the story of Jonah and the whale kept coming to me. It wouldn't set me loose. How many of you remember the story, the biblical story of Jonah and the whale? And the cartoons about Jonah and the whale, and yeah, it's a powerful story. Actually, it's so powerful, it was a part of one of the other stories of the Old Testament. It was sectioned off, a page and a half, all of its own. And it has so many metaphysical meanings. Actually, by the end, I will show you how you are both Jonah and you are the whale. Okay, don't feel insulted. The whale is a great thing. And being Jonah is a great thing. So what I would like to do is to reflect and look into the story of Jonah and the whale and give you the biblical meaning for it, because you will find that not only are you Jonah and the whale, but these times in our world are represented by Jonah and the whale. And so we start, and I'll read some and then abridge some because we are elongating this, and I'm only going to give you part of the story. So we start with Jonah being happy-go-lucky, and he receives a word from God. Now, what does a word from God really mean? I think we all have words from God. I think we all act on them similarly to Jonah, as we'll find out. The word of God is that inner guidance. God speaking to you. God giving you wonderful, beautiful ideas for a great life. Well, that's what happened with Jonah. And God said to Jonah, "Rise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now, Nineveh, metaphysically interpreted by Charles Fillmore, and all the metaphysical interpretations are by the Fillmores, by the way, isn't necessarily a place where everyone wants to be wicked. They just don't know any better. They don't. And how many of us are like that? We just don't know any better. We're trying to do our best. And there's a biblical saying that they don't know anything from the right or from the left. Well, Nineveh was similar to that. They didn't know of what was right and what was wrong. They just didn't know, but they wanted to be guided by spirit. But like most of us, when we hear that message from God, instead of running towards God and saying, "Yes, here I am, Lord," we go, "Oh, no, I'm not, Lord," and go the opposite way. By your laughter, I can tell that a lot of you understand what I'm talking about. I mean, I did it. I'm standing here before you now, happy and as a clam. But when I got the call to ministry, oh my goodness. I was in a race car running the other way. But like everything, if it's a true call, it continues to come back to you. You can't run away, but I'm getting ahead of myself. As Jonah rose to Tarshish, which is now Spain, from the presence of the Lord. Now, remarkably enough, it was thought that if you go beyond the boundaries of Israel, that God wouldn't hear you. I know it sounds silly right now, doesn't it? But that was the belief of the day, that if you go beyond the boundaries of Israel, then because God's people were in there, God's not going to hear you. God's not going to see you. So Jonah thought he was safe. And so Jonah grabbed his money, grabbed a few things, went to the port, bought a ticket on a little ship, and decided that he was going to Tarshish. And so away he went. And again, I think this is what we do when we hear the voice of God. We try to escape on a ship as far, far away as possible, to go beyond the limits of what we conceive. But we already know that God is everywhere present. And we teach here, unlike with most of the Old Testament, we teach here that God isn't a God that you have to beseech to, a God that you have to run away from. Actually, God is loving. Well, let me continue with the story. So he got on the boat, and he went sailing off, and then, so they were in the midst of the sea. God hurls a mighty wind. All of a sudden, that boat was a-rocking. And the wind just kept blowing and billowing, and a great storm happened. Well, let me read it. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. And they threw the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it from them, for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you think you're doing sleeping? Arise, call upon your God. Perhaps that God will give a thought to us so that we will not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." Several things. It's interesting that during a storm, that where is the first place that Jonah goes? Downstairs to go to sleep. Don't we all kind of go there sometimes when the seas get rough in life? We close ourselves off. We literally sometimes go to bed, put the covers over our head, and try to go to sleep. But it can't be escaped, because there's something greater. The captain comes up in you and says, "No, you cannot sleep. We can't perish." This person is saying within you that you have to arise and seek out your God. Lots, casting your lots. It's like a form of divination. There's sticks with markings on it or stones, and you sprawl them out. And from that, you can divine what God is saying. Well, I guess you guys can guess what God said. Who, as they were going, "Who is doing this to us? What is doing this to us?" Well, as the casting of lots said, it all pointed to Jonah. Can you imagine being on this ship? Now, I used to love watching The Deadliest Catch. Has anyone heard of The Deadliest Catch? Yeah. And, you know, there's a bunch of rough and gruff guys, occasionally girls, and they're all wet and grumpy and smelly from the fish, and they're giving their lives up, and most of the part I go back to is they're grumpy because they don't have much sleep because they're staying alive, they're trying to catch the catch. So I envision this motley crew all of a sudden doing the lots and looking and saying, "Jonah, you are the reason." Can you imagine everyone then looking at you? And what could Jonah do? Jonah, all he could do was do something kind of stupid in my thought. Admit it. They go, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us." What? And then they look at him. "What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were extremely afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. We flee. We try to flee all the time, don't we? Either whether it's our being a workaholic, trying to flee from that message, trying not to allow messages to come to us. We continue to be active, or we go into an escapism. It could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be too much TV, looking at too much Deadly Catch. It could be a multitude of things. What it is not allowing yourself to be open to listening to the Spirit of God because you're scared of what God has to say to you. My beloveds, we teach here that there's nothing to be scared of if God is truly guiding you on your path. Most of us don't want to be guided on that path. I know I've been there. Ministry? What? Me? Who? You must be talking to someone different. And I ran. I ran so far away, I went directly to the opposite side. I went into advertising. Truth. And talk about some hellacious experiences there. But finally, I came back to myself. We all are asked to come back to ourselves as well. And so after asking who he was and where he came from, they said how, they start praying, really praying, and asking how can we get the seas to settle down? Asking God, what do we do? What do we do? And Jonah stepped up and he said, the only way you can calm the seas is by lifting me up and throwing me into it. Now, it's interesting that at this point in time, as all the men are there to perish, what did they do? They did their best to go back to dry land. They tried everything to save this man. But to no avail, they couldn't do it. And so, with saddened hearts, because they knew they were about to spill blood, they prayed to God, asking for forgiveness. They cried out to God, we beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee. So what did they do? They did what he said. They took him, they lifted him up, they threw him in the sea. Again, how many times have we given ourselves up for the things that we thought we were lowly or not worthy of? See, he knew that he had not only put his life into jeopardy, but he had placed other people's lives in a jeopardy. I can't even imagine not only being in that boat, to be hurled into the sea, limbs flailing, waters up, because it was a major storm. The boat, they thought that the boat was going to crack and sink, gasping for air. But lo and behold, as soon as he went down, the seas cleared. The storm stopped. And as he is sailing along, something miraculous happened. At least in the story, we call it miraculous. The Lord anointed, I picked my words rightly, anointed, appointed a great fish to come along and swallow Jonah up. Wow. Now, let me give you some hints here about the metaphysical interpretation. When you see fish in the Bible, anywhere, Old Testament, New Testament, fish mean divine ideas. And so Jonah being swallowed by a whale, wow, that must have been a whopper of an idea, yes? That must have been a huge idea. And so Jonah was swallowed by this fish, and for 3 days and for 3 nights, Jonah sat in the belly of a whale. Now, I was a kid with an active imagination. I still am. I'm like, woo-wee. Wow. But the fish was anointed to do this. 3 days, 3 nights in the belly represent 3 days of high ideas, of high being in the height of God's will of being, and 3 nights are symbolic of being in a hellacious state of being. Can you imagine being in the belly of this whale? 3 days, 3 nights, hungry, thirsty. I mean, there's water in the belly, there's food, but who wants to touch that, you know? And you're thinking, am I going to die here? And what kind of death is that going to be? And so Jonah starts to pray. He goes to the Lord of God from the belly of the fish, saying, I call to the Lord out my distress. He answered me out of the belly of Sheol, which is a representative of hell or grave. I cried, and thou didst hear my voice. For thou didst cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The flood was round about me, and thy waves and thy billows passed over me. And then I said, I cast from thee presence. How shall I again look upon thy holy temple? As the waters close over and above me. He just knew he was dead as he felt the weed, the seaweed all around him as he was wet from all the water. He was faint. His soul became faint. What does it mean for your soul to become faint? I know from the smell and everything, you think, oh God, woo, I'm ready to give it up. But for your soul to be faint means that you give it up. You give everything up that you were carrying. You give your ego up. His soul became faint because he was washed away. He decided to become washed away by the Spirit of God and to listen. I mean, what harm would it be? The fact that he was in a well of his own accord, I mean, that's enough to drive me back to God. And it has been. Lord knows I have been apart from God. I have chosen to be apart from God and found myself in hellacious situations and wondered how I could get out of it. You know, at this time in the Old Testament, it's believed that this is a story of God being a vengeful God, because if Jonah would have done the right thing, he wouldn't have been in this place. No, that isn't about God. That's about Jonah. We teach here that God is good, God is great, and God wanting Jonah to go to Nineveh was a beautiful thing. It was Jonah who said, no, I'm not doing it, the ego. I have some better plans. I'm doing that, the ego. And in most of us, the ego puts us in a hellacious situation. And what do we do most then is that we cry out to God, oh my God. Then we blame God, how have thou forsaken me? No. How have we forsaken ourselves? The only way we can get out of it is to then do what we did not do. Allow God to give us another chance. How do we do that? Because God has chances all the time. God has given us chances, but are we open to it? Well, the first thing we need to do is become faint of the soul. Open ourselves up to the wisdom, the love, and the greatness of God, and to move forward. It is a magical moment indeed. And so as Jonah is there going, oh dear, oh my, what should I do? This anointed well listens to God, listens to the Lord. And needless to say, Jonah is then released from the whale. Now, that was a nice way of saying it. The Bible says, you know, released, but really he was vomited up. I mean, to be honest with you, can you imagine being whale vomit? Ugh. He was brought up and he spewed out on dry land. And Jonah, happy to be on dry land, wondered what was going on. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. Oh, God. Still with the Nineveh. But he listened. Because he knew he needed to listen to God, because the way he was going only got him being vomited up by a whale. So Jonah arose, went to Nineveh, that place where people actually just want guidance, to proclaim the message that God tells him. So Jonah arose to this great city, 3 days' journey. Jonah began to go into the city, and for 40 days and for 40 nights, Jonah spoke the word that God gave him. And at this point in time, there's much more, but I'll give you the abridged version of the story. The word of God touched these people of Nineveh so much that they laid everything down. They laid everything down, became humbled. Everyone, including the king of Nineveh, was touched by the word of God and knew that the word of God was upon them, and they chose to, okay, hold on to your seats, the big R word, repent. And if we know our interpretation of repent, it's an easy word. It just means to change your mind, change your consciousness, change your way. And that's exactly what they decided to do. And because of that, God saw the truth of them. And God was able to reach them in a way that God was not able to reach before, so that only greatness could be within them. It's interesting that once this happened, Jonah became ticked off at God because Nineveh was saved. They were no longer going through the route of hellacious being. They chose to shift their ways so they can receive heaven here on earth. And Jonah became ferocious because he was like, you know what, God? I did as you said. I'm the good boy here. They are barely just changed their mind and greatness is happening to them. You know, what the heck? You know, I was a good boy except for that running away thing. But when I came back here forced by you in the whale, I did exactly what you told me. And I am here baking in the sun. I am here and I'm ready to die. Well, while Jonah was in the sun, there was a plant that God put to his head to fend him from the sun so that he could rest. The next morning, God sent a worm to eat the leaf. How cruel of a God is that? I know. It's like, but the message there is, you know what? After rest, it's time to move. You can no longer stay under a plant, fending yourself from the sun. It is time for you to do the business of God. And from there, the story ends. We, my beloveds, are living in a time where we can no longer be Jonah, where we can no longer move against the word of God, which is good, which is always going to be good. We need to continue to embrace, open our hearts, our minds, make those things come together so that we move forward with the guidance of God. We can no longer allow the anger that continues to build in this world to take us to a world of hell. We can no longer allow our anger to take us to a place where we do not belong. I know I have no problems with anger. I know that's a little kind of interesting for people who know that I'm a Buddhist monk. Because anger, you're supposed to, you know, that's one of the worst things that you can do is be angry. I know anger as a point, a flag, to say that, you know, something isn't right. But it's what you do with the anger. I love what Thich Nhat Hanh says when he says, "I would not look upon anger as something foreign to me that I have to fight. I have to deal with my anger with care, deal with it with love, with tenderness, with nonviolence." That is what we all need to do, because our anger wants to wrap us up, bring us into this fiery thing which we like spew like a volcano, and we spew it towards one another. And the more we do it, the more fire happens. The more hostile our environment becomes, whether it's our internal environment, meaning ourselves, our body. And once this is hostile, we make our whole world hostile. So I understand so many people are angry about the things that are happening today. This is not a political talk. It's about a talk of you grabbing a hold of your anger and giving it some tender, loving care. Looking at your anger and seeing why you're angry. But you know what? Here's the one thing with anger is that the more you're angry, the more you can't hear God. The more you act up and spew, the more closed off you are. This is a time to say, okay, I'm angry. I see that. Not judge it. Just see it. Call it what it is. And then just say, all right, so I'm angry about this. And then give it love. Give yourself love so that you can open up, so that you can hear the divine ideas, so that you can go and make sure that you can correct your Nineveh. So that you can make sure that the Nineveh that is you and that within you can now have options to shift its way, to change its way from the wickedness that it didn't even know it was doing to a greater way. Beloveds, that is what we are deemed, and that is why we are here, to choose a greater way, to be the greater way. As you go through this week, I ask you to think about how you represent Jonah or how Jonah represents you. Where are those places and those causes that come up, those big, divine, beautiful ideas that are the whale? What is the whale in you? And where is that whale taking you? Look at it if you're fearful or angry about it and release it. Let it go. Look at what your thoughts are about God. Do you trust it, God, or do you distrust God? Because if you trust God, you allow yourself to go exactly where God wants you to go. I say allow that to happen. Because the more each and every one of us allows that to happen, the brighter, more loving, more fruitful this world will be. And really, this year, I'm really all about that. Really pushing harder. Moving you to go deeper, expand more, to be in that love, into the light, not the darkness. So be the Jonah that hears God's, that soul that becomes faint. Open yourself up. How do you do that? First of all, you do that. You open yourself up. You trust that God is good. You start asking God questions. I know I have a lot of Catholics here. I had a friend who was Catholic who said, you can't ask God all those questions. Yes, you can. You have to get an answer. Ask God anything. It's safe. It's good. God is infinite. God wants your only good. So ask the questions, and ask the questions, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to get there? What are the talents I'm supposed to use? And then go into the stillness. You don't necessarily have to go into prayer and meditation. That's great as a tool. But just be quiet and listen for the guidance. That's the mistake we all make, is that we're like, God, 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 God. How come God's not answering me? God is. Are we listening? We have to listen. And then trust and do as God asks us to do. Now, normally I would say the big O word, which I don't like, be obedient. That is cast of Old Testament stuff. The same thing is do what God asks. Trust that God wants only greatness. And if God is sending you down this path, now it might seem interesting, be a minister. What? Me? Do this, do that. It might seem out of the ordinary. Trust and go that direction. God's will of good is only there for you. And continue to trust. Continue to go around the circle. Pray, listen, do. Pray, listen, do. And your life, you will find, will continuously be lighter, brighter, and filled with more peace. And you have done it all with a lack of violence. Our greatest achievements have happened through nonviolent ways. God has us doing things in nonviolent ways. Let us go that path. And so, as you go through this week, in your bulletin is an affirmation. I invite us all to say the affirmation together. Let's do that. I envision God's children of all races and nationalities joining hands in harmony and understanding. You know what? Can we join hands together right now? I know we're going to do that in a couple songs. Let's join hands and let us say, grab a hand, grab two hands, and let us say that again. I envision God's children of all races and nationalities joining hands in harmony and understanding. Yes, I do. God bless you all. Thank you and amen.